Listen to the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, thousands of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. We find it in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The seal of the Lord of hosts will do this for us. And then we turn to Psalm 118. And I want you to know that if there is one hymn or one song that we know that was sung for sure on the very first Palm Sunday, this is it. Because there are a few processional songs left for us in the Bible, in the Psalms, written literally thousands of years ago. And that was part of the Jewish heritage in those days. And later in and through Jesus Christ, it went across the world. People would walk into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And this is one of the songs that they definitely sang. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here ends our scripture readings. May you and I sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning and to interpret it into our own lives. My friends, some time ago, it was Palm Sunday, and I can assure you that most churches celebrate Palm Sunday something like we did this morning. But this particular Palm Sunday, because of a sore throat, little 7-year-old Timothy stayed home. He had to stay home from church, and he stayed with a babysitter. And the family went to church. It was Palm Sunday, and when the family returned home, as you can imagine, they carried several palm branches that were handed out to church this morning. And when they walked in, a little Timothy, 7-year-old with a sore throat, he wanted to know, what on earth? What's happening? What's happening? So Dad tried to explain to him, well, you see, Timothy, it's this way. When Jesus came, people waved these palms over his head as he walked by. Well, wouldn't you know it? The little boy fumed. The one Sunday I don't go to church, he shows up. On that first Palm Sunday, long ago, Jesus and his disciples were entering Jerusalem And we know today it was for the very last time. They were part of the throngs of people moving into Jerusalem underway for the Passover celebration. And as was the custom in those days, they were singing psalms, they were singing songs of joy. And isn't it great to imagine those of you who've been to Jerusalem right in the middle, top of a hill, the temple stood in those days, and people started singing when they left their homes. And they were singing these processional songs as they get closer and closer to the temple. And as they got closer, they began to recognize the tunes that other people were singing. And before you know it, everybody changed to the same tune. And then out of one voice, they sang louder and louder as they got closer and closer to the temple. And that's why we read Psalm 118. And in our minds, we can really think and imagine and remember how it sounded in those days in the open air with everybody walking up to the temple. And so it wasn't really a special procession that was just there for Jesus' sake so that he can be welcomed. No, he was walking with the crowds. He was part of many, many pilgrims who were on their way to celebrate the Passover. And while they were walking, some people started to whisper, "Hey, look there, look there. See that guy on the donkey? Isn't he the prophet from Galilee? Isn't he the one that we heard about? Yeah, yeah, it's him. Yeah, you can see, there's his followers. Yes, it's him. Oh, Hosanna!" In the song, suddenly they changed their focus. They weren't just singing anymore, but they were waving their palms in his direction. And as more and more people realized what was happening, the voices got stronger and stronger. And Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The same sentence was sung for thousands of years before. But that day, the people recognized and they started singing the same old words. But this time, they were looking at Jesus entering and they were throwing their cloaks beneath his feet or the donkey's feet as he came closer and closer. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Uh-oh. That's dangerous. Hear what they sang? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. That's fighting talk. Remember, they were slaves. Remember, the Romans were in charge. And remember, any talk of the rebuilding of David's kingdom was rebellious. It was dangerous. You could pay with your life for singing that type of song within earshot of the Romans. Blessed the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. This rabble is singing about getting rid of the Romans. And immediately the Romans who heard perked up. What's happening here? What's happening? These people are supposed to be slaves. They're not supposed to be singing of the day that they will be free and have their own kingdom. That was the atmosphere. Loaded. Dangerous. Dangerous as it could possibly be. You see, all faces were now turned. And all feet underway to Jerusalem. And yes, they were going to celebrate their annual religious holiday, the Passover. And the Romans didn't like it, quite frankly. Because that's what held those people together. Celebrating the exodus of their ancestors out of slavery in Egypt. And they were already singing about getting away from the Romans as well. You see, in real life, they were subordinates. They were slaves. They were under the strict rule of Rome. And they, of course, as it goes, they were hoping for, some of them quietly, some of the brave ones more openly, screaming for, yearning for real change. They wanted someone to lead them to a better life. Now, don't think that everybody was thinking that way. Not in that crowd. It was really a mix of people. Some of those were political activists. Aha, that was their opportunity, you see. They had heard rumors that this Jesus had special powers. And they thought, well, let's give him a few hosannas. Let's praise him a bit. Let's get his spirits up. Because who knows, with his powers, he may just decide to take our side and to get rid of these hated Romans. Dangerous. Oh yes, the political activists were there. See, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He can maybe rid us of the Romans. So in that atmosphere, you can imagine danger, danger. Others were not interested in that type of politics. But they had heard this was the healer, the man born in Nazareth, the man from Galilee. And they had sick ones, they had dying ones, their loved ones. And they came and thought, maybe, who knows, maybe I can just touch him as he's walking by. And when they recognized, their hosannas had a different meaning, because they waved their branches, their hoping for physical healing. Others, well, like in every crowd, some were just onlookers. They weren't even interested in the festival of the other Jews, because they didn't believe that way. They were onlookers. They were looking for something to do, and the moment when there's a parade, the moment when they're shouting, the moment when there's a crowd, they just come and they join in and they see, hey, what's happening here? And those who was hoping that Jesus would establish himself as their earthly king and lead their resistance against the Roman Empire thought, this is heyday. This is an election coming that you cannot imagine. Maybe this was him. Now, after this introduction, sadly, we know today how short-sighted they really were, because they saw the world only from their own perspective. Nobody was going to change their mind. Isn't it still the same? There are people in our time so convinced, so sure that what they believe is right and no one else, that they don't hesitate to say it and to hurt others and to spoil the atmosphere. These people had their own perspective. They had no idea who Jesus was. You see, Jesus' action was the direct opposite of what the people really hoped for, what they really expected. And little did they understand the significance of the events taking place at that particular moment in history. They didn't know that 2,000 years later in modern America, that event of that day would be remembered by millions across the world. If they only used their common sense. Because there were more symbols in the crowd. You see, Jesus was riding a donkey. And you could get horses in those days. He had a choice. He was riding a donkey and not a horse. Sounds a bit funny until you understand something. In those days, a donkey was a symbol of peace. Poor people rode on donkeys. Poor people hoped for peace. So somehow they associated it. But if anybody enters on a horse, That's just the opposite. That's the symbol of conquering. So Jesus approached Jerusalem on a donkey, in peace, as a humble servant, and not a mighty warrior king. Jesus had a different understanding. Jesus had different goals in sight. Because you see, here's the truth. His kingdom was not from this world. We know today that the proverbial grain of wheat was about to be engulfed by darkness in order to germinate and to produce new life for countless millions to follow. Jerusalem and its people did not understand it then. But the words of Isaiah comes to mind. Who were they actually welcoming? Isaiah had a title for him. Isaiah had a name for him. They called him the Prince of Peace. That was our scripture this morning. The Prince of Peace, who would influence the course of human history forever. And we know that the people who originally welcomed the Prince of Peace would soon melt away into the bigger crowds and give him a week, friends, less than a week. And the last Hosanna had died down. Yeah, they were still shouting. But this time they were shouting, crucify! Crucify! Get rid of! Crucify him! You know, it's still the same. It's easy to shout. It's much harder to follow. Even in our times, you sometimes see those bumper stickers. Honk if you love Jesus. I can think of a different bumper sticker. Follow if you love Jesus. Anyone can honk. Even in our times, the excitement of special moments can take hold of us. At times, visions and dreams fill us with great enthusiasm and a fresh burst of energy over a particular project that can inspire us to do great things for our faith and to go far beyond the call of duty to make dreams come true. This beloved church of ours calls it its Kuvadis dream. We have a hope there is something that we want to do in service of the Prince of Peace. It has to do with preparing our grounds and our buildings for a future where this church can go on after you and I are gone. And quietly they're working and they're working hard and they're dreaming and they're hoping, and more people are beginning to pray, oh God, let our mission succeed as we here in this busy city of ours claim for your name and for the future, claim our heritage, our spiritual heritage. Yes, people still get excited. Excited for God, excited for their faith, excited for the future. But like that day, unfortunately, enthusiasm can easily fade. Interest can easily get lost. It was great for a while, it lasted in those days. But during that week, it all disappeared. You see, it's easy to shout, Hosanna. It's not so easy to shout Hosanna when others shout crucify. But you know what? The Jesus movement started with that small group of men and women, and it would grow and grow person by person through the ages until it reached the furthest ends of the world. That little rag attack army of the first Palm Sunday day eventually grew into countless millions. And let me tell you and assure you, it's still growing. It's building hospitals somewhere in dark Africa. It's working on universities and school. It's planning to heal the wounded, to feed the hungry, and setting at liberty captive peoples. In the name of Jesus, it is still bringing people from darkness into light. And therefore, today, we again welcome Jesus, not under way to execution, but as our only hope for peace, as the fulfillment of our faith and the coming of God's kingdom on earth. We believe that the ancient prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, that a son would be born to us, that authority would rest upon his shoulders, and that the world would recognize him as the Prince of Peace, became reality in the birth, the ministry, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So since those days, every time when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we remember to say, "Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come." We pray for a better world where justice and peace will forever ban the misery, the pain, and the injustice of war, of poverty, and helplessness of a suffering world. Isaiah's vision tells of endless peace in a world governed by God's will, by God's love, and by God's peace. Because even in our times, maybe like never before, across the world, people are yearning, people are hoping, crying out, praying in agony for peace to come. Peace, peace in their neighborhood, in their country. On the first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem, welcomed as the Prince of Peace. Today we once again celebrate the entrance of Jesus. This time not into Jerusalem, but right into our hearts and into our lives and into our faith and into our hopes, our prayers and our dreams. So let us once again recognize and welcome Jesus as our Prince of Peace. And at the closing of this morning service, I invite you now, this moment, to join me in a prayer for peace. The words are printed in your bulletin. Let us pray together, the words also projected on the screen. In spite of confusion, opposition and darkness, we will work, we will wait, hope and yearn for a day when oppression will be no more And God's people across the world will live in dignity and peace and freedom together. And that's why we hail the power of Jesus' name as we sing our songs of hope and peace. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Amen.